Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Welcome to the end of the weekend.
Please don't let today be Monday. Please don't let today be Monday. Please, 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 please don't let today be Monday.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
And then what followed was bad even by Monday standards.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A lot of big developments right now, not just in the sports world and also in Kansas City sports, but also just within the building. Beards came in, he came through with donuts this morning. That's a storyline from like four weekends ago. Worth the wait. I understand better now the idea of, you know what? Shout out to Mike Golic. This is our Sports Sunday Mike Golic Appreciation Edition. We're just eating donuts to get ready for the morning. I understand it a little bit better now. It's still a weird breakfast food to me. Like a donut is a... I feel like donuts like a perfect dessert. But you get that right little... That sweet, fluffy introduction into your morning. To your weekend morning. It's what I needed. Thank you, Beards. Excellent. Excellent clutch performance by you. We will also talk about the Royals on a bunch of levels today. And that will be, it'll be good because we'll be at least pretending that it's on the way. I learned from, I don't know when this news broke. I may be showing my ignorance here. It may have happened early this morning. It may have happened late last night. I don't know. But there's another MLS game and the MLS is back tournament being postponed. Doesn't make me feel good. One positive test and an inconclusive one does not make me feel good about just where we're generally headed. But we had a sporting event last night that I was up watching until 1 a.m. because everything starts at 11 now and I'm slowly becoming an old man. But none of that is where we begin today because instead we're talking about interpreting tweets. We don't have a music bed for that or anything. I did sort of feel like I was throwing to one.
Let me look for something. I think there actually might be something in the system.
You think you've got something for interpreting tweets? It's got to be like mystical and stuff.
Okay,
it's not really.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
No.
I would say that if we would have planned this, if I hadn't just thought about it being a segment right now, I could have said you needed to like tap into your Game of Thrones music, and that would have been the appropriate underlying sort of tone for this.
Well, hang on. I've got music that I think that'll work for this. Let me find
it. Okay. All right. That's fine.
I've got so much music in my folder, man.
You have so... It's unbelievable. The sheer amount of tunes that you've got in the aptly named Beards McFly folder. Is it called Beards McFly or is it
no,
by your fake...
It's
your
it's
alias.
Fake name, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
You gotta keep people off the scent.
You don't want people hacking your music. Do you got something for Josh Reed's tweet? Interprets tweets? Yes, this is good. Welcome to a Sunday morning edition. Now I feel like we're doing a Dateline. It was 12:47 a.m. and mystery and tragedy struck. Now at 9:05 a.m. on this Sunday morning on Sports Radio 810, we interpret tweets. I'm Joshua B. Briscoe with Beards M. McFly. Do you have a canonical middle name? Don't worry about it. Beards is working on the new system. We got a new system for making everything happen over there, and it's learning curve. We're on the learning curve right now. Beard is ramping up. Here are the tweets we're interpreting, and we're not just interpreting tweets. Right now, we are in the story of Joseph right now. I'm wearing a beautiful coat of many colors as I interpret these dreams. Two tweets. Back-to-back from Chris Jones, franchise-tagged defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. 4 hours apart, roughly. He tweets, vibes are unmatched. Which is something I think you can generally be feeling on a Saturday evening kind of anyway, you know? You don't have to have a reason for the vibes to be unmatched on a good Saturday night. My vibes were easily matched last night. I was sleepy and just, you know, pounding Trulies while trying to stay hydrated, waiting for the UFC fight to start. But then 4 hours later, he tweets, "God, thank you," prayer hands emoji. Now this is also, maybe you're just thanking the man above. Maybe you had a good talk with a member of your family, and you're just trying to publicly direct the glory above and celebrate all of the great things that have been given to you. Those two tweets would not be enough for this opening edition of Sunday Morning Dateline, interpreting tweets in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. But then he likes a couple of tweets. There's a tweet in response to the good vibes tweet. It says, "New contract vibes? Eye emoji, eye emoji, eye emoji." Chris Jones likes the tweet. Could be wishful thinking. Could be wishful thinking. Another tweet. "The kind when a team locks down the best quarterback for 12 years and the best defensive lineman for 3 or 4 in the same week." Chris Jones likes the tweet. Could be wishful thinking. How about this one? Also liked by Chris Jones on Twitter. "Let's celebrate where it all started at Topgolf when you sign."
Why Topgolf? Am I missing something?
It's just a good party place.
Okay.
I don't know if there's another connection point to it. If there is, I don't know it. But it's possible. I also just saw that the Sports Radio 810 Twitter account just put out a tweet about half an hour ago of Patrick Mahomes sinking a putt at the American Century Golf Championship, American Century Championship in Lake Tahoe. And the caption says, "Patrick Mahomes." Dan has tweeted, "Am I mad at JB Briscoe or at Allie Trost?" And I would just like to publicly declare my innocence from that heinous pun crime. Good God, Allie. Have some self-respect. Anyway, that's beside the point. Could this actually be something on the Chris Jones front? Is there the inkling of a glimmer of a cloud of hope? The music is so dramatic that even I am now asking myself these questions in a more genuine fashion, as opposed to the hypothetical. This concludes Josh Reed's Ninja Tweets. Because the answer about all the tweets is I have no bleeping idea. But here's what I do think is interesting. I don't know if the tweets and liking the tweets are anything. It's kind of fun. It's remarkably stupid that we're doing this. But if you're looking for some way to be a little bit optimistic, if you're looking for something you say, you know what, I want to read into these things, I think you should feel absolutely free to. And I would be pretty surprised if just like a deal gets announced today. But there was a report yesterday that the Chiefs and Chris Jones have actually begun talking again. It was a report from Jeremy Fowler saying they're discussing a long-term contract, and that's not earth-shattering news, right? But it's more than we've had so far with Chris Jones. That happened before those tweets yesterday. I would personally be really surprised if they, after all this time, agreed to a deal within like 3 hours of them talking. Maybe Chris Jones is optimistic about the deal getting done. I've maintained a little bit of hope throughout this whole process. I think I said after Mahomes signed, I put it at around 33%. The needle moves for me a smidge just hearing that they're talking again, because it means that they're not just tagging him and then saying, all right, we'll talk to you next year. I don't think he was also in town for an autograph signing. I think Corey Anderson tweeted that he wasn't meeting with the Chiefs like around then. I don't know if that was specific to Jones. He doesn't need to be in the room for the Chiefs and his agent to be talking. So I'm not sure of all the specifics on that. But maybe the conversation began yesterday. Chris Jones gets optimistic and tweets and likes some things and all of that. And frankly, like I think that's pretty likely. He also, it could be totally unrelated. It could be just like, you know, somebody tweets you and says, hey, you should be paid more and millions of dollars guaranteed over numbers of years. If you get that tweet and someone says you are the best person in the world at your job and you should get paid tremendous amounts of money for doing it, you're probably going to like that tweet. I would like that tweet. So I don't think that has to be, you know, hashtag breaking. But I am hopeful, and I am very glad to hear that there are discussions being had there. Because there is unequivocally the space to get this done. This was true before Mahomes, but I do think, you know, Brett Veach talked about on Tuesday whenever he was speaking to the media. He said that he mentioned that they have cost certainty with Patrick Mahomes now, and they do. I mean, again, I've been consistent on this one. I think 5 years from now, this deal is going to look different. It's going to get restructured. It's going to get extended, assuming, you know, things go according to plan. Assuming Patrick Mahomes continues to be good at football, I don't think he's going to play out the deal as it's currently structured. I think in the offseason of 2024, they're probably going to look at where their cap numbers start coming down the road and look ahead to that 2027 number and move that to 2034. Mahomes is going to get a bleep load of money, and the Chiefs have flexibility. Brett Veach already said in the press conference the day after the extension, he said, there's some things we could do to move some money around if we need to later on, which I just think makes Brett Veach giddy. I think the idea of moving money around a salary cap just makes Brett Veach straight up giddy, which I get. I am not judging him for that. I'm just glad that there are some people that find joy in that kind of restructuring. Because I think that the salary cap is largely stupid, And as Seth Kaiser would call it, largely fake, I do find it also largely fun. I contain multitudes. I enjoy a little salary cap conversation. You probably know this. But in 2020 right now, the Chiefs have about $6 million in cap space, according to Over the Cap. And Chris Jones's cap hit is already on the books at $16 million. You have to hold that cap space to franchise tag someone, even if they haven't signed the tag yet. If they sign him to a long-term deal, you know, Nate Taylor has said Chris Jones wants money up front. He wants to get paid when he signs the deal, which I understand. He doesn't have crazy money, and he doesn't have crazy endorsements either. Patrick Mahomes is going to make $1 billion over the next 10 years because he signed that deal, and then the next day he was on ESPN from Lake Tahoe wearing a Coors Light polo. He had a sponsored Coors Light post on social, wearing his Adidas hat. That dude is going to make $1 billion in the next decade. Because the Chiefs are paying him $500 million, you know, give or take. They have a cap on what they can pay him. Coors Light, they do not have a cap, but neither does Bud Light. They can just bid. Beers can just bid for Patrick Mahomes to wear their logo on a polo at a golf tournament. And that number is going to be unbelievable in these years to come.
Also Adidas.
I did mention his Adidas hat.
No, I mean like in terms of just throwing
money. Oh, God,
money.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I don't know how long.
Trying to keep him away from Nike.
Yes. I don't know how long his Adidas contract goes for. I don't know if that's public at all. But whenever it is even close to coming up, they're going to do what the Chiefs did and be like, hey, we're just going to give you $500 million for the next 10 years so we don't have to worry about this. Because if there's a bidding war, then yeah, Nike's going to come around and say, like, all right, what do you want exactly? And at this point,
I was trying to find the list of Adidas-sponsored players because I feel like it's not as big as Nike.
No, I'm sure it's not. But within that also, I don't know if this is anything, but would you rather be the face of Adidas or like dude six on the Nike roster? I mean, I think there's a reasonable conversation to be had there, both financially and also like branding wise, because Adidas isn't Reebok right now, which is just like, or Under Armour even, which are just going the wrong way. It seems like UFC is about to leave Reebok behind. Nike is number one, Adidas is number two, at least in American markets, and it's not like he's the face of Puma right now. I don't know what those rosters are going to look like, Beards, but it's going to be a lot of money.
That I found, the top 25 most influential Adidas sponsored athletes. This is on social, but still, you have to get to number 14 before you find a not soccer player.
Oh, interesting.
Number 14.
It's by social followings.
Yeah, number 14 is Lillard.
Yeah, and I
James
think
Harden's 15, and then it goes again to soccer.
I think Mahomes might already be Mahomes is probably already a bigger name than Lillard and probably will surpass Harden very soon.
Aaron Rodgers is on here. Mahomes.
I didn't know that, though. I didn't know. I don't feel like Aaron Rodgers is, like, in... I don't feel like he's, like, in the... Like, the Adidas commercials. Also, Adidas and State Farm. Just one and the same, apparently. I guess they need Chris Paul. Chris Paul's State Farm. Yeah, that's right. Because it was a fake Chris Paul. It's excellent. Anyway, so Mahomes is going to make all that money. That diversion there, that tangent, is to say that that Chris Jones is not making that money. Look, Chris Jones has made more money than I probably ever will already, right? Like, I was going to say than I ever will and say it definitively, but it made me a little sad because I actually don't. Let's go with Chris Jones' career earnings real quick. Because it's not... He was a second-round draft pick, and he's now coming up for his first open market contract. It's definitely multi-millions, but I think it's around five, I think. Career earnings. Come on, SpotTrack. It's not really SpotTrack's fault. My internet's not been good lately. 6.2. Again, and yeah, some more money than I'm going to see. But, like, ever. In cumulatively. But Chris Jones has made money, but he doesn't have NFL superstar money. And so, again, just going off of Nate Taylor's report, it wasn't even, because it wasn't like a hashtag report. It was like, hey, here's what I'm telling you that I believe to be true. But Chris Jones wants to get money on the front end. Well, he could get $50 million at signing and spread that out over 5 years of the deal for $10 million per on the salary cap. But he gets $50 million when pen hits paper there. If it's a $60 million number, which is right around where Frank Clark's was, if we're talking 5 years, $100 million, with 60 guaranteed, you could give him the whatever it would be, like 12 and a half. Yeah. No, 12. It'd just be 12. You could give him $12 million of that prorated bonus every year across that deal, across those 5 years, and give him that 60 right away. And then his base salary year one could be whatever his floor is. It could be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so his cap hit in 2020 would actually go down. They could lower his base salary, because right now it's all salary. It's $16 million of salary. They could lower that. They could give him the 60 guaranteed, prorate that bonus out, and lower his cap hit in year one. It could even still be pretty low in year two, because that's probably where the Chiefs are looking at a bit of a squeeze. But even then, Mahomes is only making his fifth-year number there, which is about $25 million in 2021. Still some flexibility. Then 2022 gets there, and Mahomes jumps up to 31. But now you've got a roster that currently has $100 million in cap space, and that's a projection, and it's going to keep going up again. 2021, you're probably looking at a flat cap when you were hoping for an accelerated one as the TV deal kicks in, the CBA kicks in, all that. That money is eventually going to catch back up. Teams are going to get more salary cap space, and if you could tell Chris Jones right now, hey, we're going to give you the Frank Clark deal. We're going to lower your base salary in years one and two. Your base salary is going to be way higher down the road a little bit. And it's going to be your 20 average annual value, but maybe you're easier to let go a little bit sooner. You could give him a massive signing bonus and then also spread out that guaranteed money. They're like, that's a way to lay it out. It doesn't have to all be in that signing bonus. Frank Clark had $60-some million guaranteed. His prorated bonus is 6.8 every year, which is why last year's number was low, because his base salary was teeny, but he had the about a $7 million prorated roster bonus. Or prorated signing bonus, excuse me. Then there are also guarantees. You could give him the 65 guaranteed or whatever, not have to split that evenly, but whatever he gets at the front end, you can prorate over up to 5 years. It can be kind of convoluted, but all of that, if you are listening to this and you're thinking, okay, one more time. First of all, I've talked about a lot of other places and a lot of, like, almost entirely sports, like twice a week we talk about this, we have this exact conversation. But if your eyes are glazed over, I understand. It's kind of convoluted. But trust me at least this far to say the Chiefs absolutely have the flexibility to sign Chris Jones. They can make his cap hit this year go down and make his cap hit in 2021 totally viable. And there's the bigger philosophical discussion to reference Seth once again about signing a bunch of really expensive guys. Here's the thing. First of all, you push money back, the cap goes off, and then other guys fall off of the cap. Most of the time, just procrastinating on things is not a viable long-term strategy for anyone holding a successful, healthy life. In this instance, though, it actually is. Because again, cap goes up, contracts expire. Push your money down the road, absolutely. But Seth's point that I always enjoy referencing is that there's not a problem with signing a bunch of expensive players. Problems arise whenever you sign the wrong ones. And that can come in a lot of forms, right? You know, they're overpaying Anthony Hitchens because they overpaid for a linebacker who could anchor the defense. And anchor the defense, I'm probably being a little generous, but, you know, they're paying Anthony Hitchens more than the value he's been worth. But if you go back to, like, the times when it's gone really bad for the Chiefs recently, they paid Justin Houston and they paid Eric Berry, and they got hurt. Berry especially. Like, it was, I mean, he got cancer and then had a claw growing out of the back of his heel like a bird of prey. They ended up being, in big quotes here, the wrong guys to pay, because sometimes bleep happens, and that's true. And the more, excuse me, the more high-end guys you're paying a lot of money to, the greater chance there is of one of them getting hurt, one of them underperforming, whatever. There's also a greater chance that they're going to continue to be, you're going to get generational players in those, for those price tags. And you have to evaluate them individually and honestly. I mean, that's, I've never been the person to say, like, just pay everybody, I love everybody. I'll tell you where I wouldn't spend the money. But, and I've told you, much to the chagrin of anyone listening with 2020 vision. I told you I wouldn't have traded for and paid Frank Clark. And I might be wrong on that, retrospectively. They won the Super Bowl, and he was a very valuable part of it. Would they have won the Super Bowl without Frank Clark? I don't know. I'm not trying to, like, protect my take on that one. I'm telling you, I'm just being honest. I wouldn't have made that move. The Chiefs did, and then they won the Super Bowl, and he played well after he got healthier. So I'm not griping about it, nor telling you that I was actually right. I was probably wrong. But I'll tell you what I wouldn't pay guys a bunch of money. But if I was taking this Chiefs roster, and I was ranking who I would pay, Patrick Mahomes is number one with every bullet ever made in the history of the world. Chris Jones is the next. He's the number one defensive player, without hesitation for me. If I'm building a team or I'm trying to rebuild the Chiefs or whatever, and like Tyrann Mathieu was incredibly valuable last year, and I don't want to take anything away from him at all. If the Chiefs had to go through this next era of defensively without Tyrann Mathieu, I would be really bummed. But I think the single most impactful player, the single biggest game wrecker on this defense is Chris Jones. Tyrann Mathieu hides weaknesses. He patches up all of your issues. He seems to be the exact type of leader you want anywhere on a field, but especially defensively. He helped usher in Steve Spagnuolo's defense, and I would continue paying him also. Not trying to say that they should try to move Tyrann Mathieu for cap space. Absolutely not saying that. But Chris Jones is one on the defense, and he's two. If I have Patrick Mahomes, I think all three of my first three picks might be offensive. It might be Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey. All 1, 2, 3. Because I just want to make sure Patrick Mahomes has guys to throw to that you're 100% confident in. But I think it's probably Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, Jones, Mathieu. I'd be really tempted to say Mitchell Schwartz next. I don't know. I haven't done a full roster ranking. That might be a good off-season, still pre-training camp thought exercise of ranking every player on the Chiefs offense. The Chiefs 90-man roster. We're going 1 to 90. Number 6, Harrison Butker.
Number 1, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because running backs are the most important. Mahomes is like 3rd.
I do wonder where I would end up putting all the running backs. That would make people very angry, because I didn't even think about them. I'm going to have to do this as an exercise. I promise not to work it all out on air right now and like just have a whiteboard and just go, okay, hold on, actually, I'm going to drop Eric Fisher from 12 to 14 so I can move Tre'Davious Ward up to 9. I'm not going to do that for the next hour of the show, although I'm not sure it'd be bad radio. In fact, I'm pretty sure it'd be good radio. It would be bad radio. But I value Chris Jones very highly. They do have the cap space to make this work. And we've investigated tweets in a way that makes me think there's a little spark of optimism. I also just saw that that match that got postponed that I told you I couldn't remember, I wasn't sure when that actually happened. It happened like right before the show. Look at us being timely. Also, 25 minutes ago here, retweeted by the Sports Radio 810 Twitter account. I didn't see it because I'm hosting a radio show, but if you want to make sure you're seeing everything, follow at Sports Radio 810 on any social platform. Update on the Sporting Kansas City player who had one player test positive on Thursday night. They remain in quarantine. League official confirms the rest of the SKC team has referred confirmatory negative test results, and they plan to play their game versus Minnesota United tonight. All right, that's good news. Also good news, you can hear Sporting play a live game tonight right here on Sports Radio 810. We will take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about something else. There's a variety of things. UFC fight last night. Maybe Chris Jones will like another tweet and maybe I'll eat the other half of this donut and have some sort of mind-opening experience that will actually have me figure out how the Chiefs can just pay everyone all the time. We'll figure it out next.
This is Sports Sunday.
Here's something that is deeply, deeply upsetting. Cut Pat Mahomes to make the spaces if you have to. I don't care. Not good. You feel pretty good about your pick right now, right? Oh, Mahomes had to bring 4.8. Boom, you're dead. Boom, you're dead.
With Joshua Briscoe.
We know it's going to end in a heartbreaking playoff loss. I mean, like, and do you move Travis Kelce to quarterback? Because I probably would. We saw him. But he's got a cannon, man.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Ah! All right, I have a bunch of Twitter-based things to talk about here. First of all, I mentioned earlier the tweet from the 810 account that just has a video of Patrick Mahomes seeking that putt in the American tournament, in the American Century Championship. Where did tournament even come from? The American Century Championship yesterday, and it was just tweeted with the words Patrick Mahomes, and I can't deal with that. But I finally responded during the break that Allie needs to have some self-respect. She said never, and then Zach responded and said that I seem green with envy. I said that Allie is a chip off the old block. It's really par for the course. Yes, I have to tweet. It's really par for the course. Send tweet. Something about an eagle. I'm not sure. Here again is this might be a bit redundant to the conversation we were having last segment, but I got a tweet in response to, I tweeted out some of those the Chris Jones tweets and then the favorites that are the likes that I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Someone said, signing Jones to a monstrous contract is going to handcuff the Chiefs for years to come. I say, let him walk and take the compensatory third-round pick. I'm not trying to call anybody out, but that is definitely not true. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm just going to try to explain why that's not true in a variety of levels with a variety of logics and reasons. First of all, if the goal is to trade Chris Jones, it should have happened before the draft if the goal was to trade him now. Like, if the goal is to trade him before the 2020 season, should have been before the draft. Right now, his value is going to be lessened. If your goal is to get that third-round pick after this season, you know, let him play out the tag this year and then move him, I think that's a totally reasonable, that's a reasonable reading into it. But if you're going to do that, tag him this year, have him play out the deal, and then next year, you tag him again and then trade him somewhere for much more than a third-round pick. If he plays really well again under the franchise tag again, he is going, and even if he sits, you could do it next year. You could do the same thing next year. You can get franchise tagged twice. That's when Le'Veon Bell sat out. He sat out for his second tag, which, you can do. If you're trying to move on from Chris Jones, though, if you can get him to play under the tag this year, if you're not intending on a long-term deal, which again, right now, we don't know that that's the case, you tag him, play him, tag him again next year, and then trade him to whoever is willing to send back a mid-first-round pick and give him a long-term deal. Because Chris Jones will have some control in those circumstances, right? It's not like a no trade clause or anything, but he can say like, hey, I won't sign a long-term deal with you. I'll play under the tag again and then move on. Or you need to be able to pay me this much. If you don't pay me 22, 23 a year, I'm not coming to play for you. That is a place where the player gets some kind of procedural control back, which is nice because all of the control in these situations is always held by the team. Even as, you know, Chris Jones got drafted. Chris Jones has never been able to control what he does or where he plays. Anyway, if you're going to try to move on from him, you do that next offseason. After hopefully getting him to play under the franchise tag, after hopefully having sports this year. Again, the news from the MLS today, they're postponing a match because of one positive, one inconclusive test. Does not make me feel very good because we are going to have a positive and an inconclusive test everywhere for all of time because we are lagging way behind on this one. I think this will ultimately end up being perhaps a bit of an overreaction in terms of what it takes to stop a game, and if you can't just have those two guys sit and then retest everyone else, but it's short notice, so I understand that's complicated. Anyway, that's a tangent through and through. Within the first part of that guy's tweet, signing Jones with Montrezl's contract is going to handcuff the Chiefs for years to come. It's not. It's just not true. Without going through everything that you may or may not have heard in the first segment of the show today, I'm used to being on at night. It's explicitly not night. It is the opposite of night. It is morning. Is morning the opposite of night? Or is noon the opposite of night? Is it? We're usually on.
I'm just taking 24 hours from wherever it is.
Nope, that's the same time. You're taking 12 hours.
Yeah.
It's like I'm going to do a 360 on this one and go the other. Nope, you've done a full spin.
Joke's on you. I'm going to do 720.
Wow. Sick, dude. Radical.
With a kickflip.
I'm going to, hold on, let's see. Skateboard tricks with funny names. I don't need a YouTube video for them. I just wanted to have like a... I'm going to do a 1920 boneless on this Chris Jones topic.
Those are my favorite kind of wings.
Boy, is that true for you? It's not. Is it not true?
No. It was the joke that was there and I took it.
That's fair. We need to have a better Google result for skateboard tricks with funny names.
A ghetto bird.
Huh.
I'm on Wikipedia and it just has a list.
I am now on skateboardhere.com.
Do you want a biggest flip? What about a biggest flip?
What about a nose blunt? Oh, an eggplant. Two words.
A Hector flip.
Hector flip is wild. Hector, I knew a kid named Hector Flip. I wonder what happened to him. Oh, he's a skateboard trick now? Yikes. What? Oh, I love a 360 shove it.
What about a psycho white boy?
What about a front foot impossible?
That seems difficult to do.
Should be called a front foot implausible. A front foot very difficult.
What about a late kick flip?
None
You've
of these
landed,
have enough
and then
words.
You try and do it and you fail and fall over.
I need more three word. I'm gonna do a stale fish grab on this nose blunt. Is that what it was?
Yes, it was the nose blunt. Because I had a great visual image.
Yeah. Sorry, a nose blunt slide. We have that also. I'm going to do a quick nose blunt slide on this. Well, how did we... 720 boneless chicken wings?
Yes.
Excellent. How do we get here?
I don't know.
The Chiefs would not be long... I kind of gave you the short-term thing on Chris Jones, right? If they could sign him in 2020 and get more cap space in 2020. So this has nothing to do with Damien Williams or whatever. I mean, they could still do whatever with him. I think he'll be on the team. But they could... In fact, I'm quite confident. Maybe they do or don't retain Dan Sorensen. But that has nothing to do with Chris Jones in 2020. In 2021, they're already going to move on from Alex Okafor and possibly Eric Fisher and throw Lucas Niang in there. And I've said this a million times. I think Eric Fisher has been chronically, criminally underrated among Chiefs fans because he's always been the number one overall pick and he's never fully gotten out from underneath that shadow. And so I like Eric Fisher and will defend Eric Fisher. But if... The drop from Eric Fisher to Lucas Niang is the thing that keeps you from dropping from Chris Jones to Colin Saunders, who might be a good player. He's not Chris Jones right now. He's not even, I don't think he's even what Lucas Niang will be. Then you've got a real, like, that's an easy button to press for me. And so it doesn't hamper the Chiefs in 2021 either, where they're paying Frank Clark $26 million, Tyreek Hill $16 million, Tyrann Mathieu $20 million. You can move on from Eric Fisher and be paying him $3 million dead against the cap. You can do a post-June 1st cut and split Anthony Hitchens' cap hit up and move on from him next year if you want. You probably restructure Travis Kelce to move his money back a little bit. Mitch Schwartz, you could probably restructure and add some years if you wanted to. You move on from Okafor. LDT's probably gone. Mahomes is still making $25 million. And then nobody, Harrison Butker then makes $4 million. Nobody else on the cap makes over $2 million. Breland Speaks at $1.9 million. You can cut him and free that up if you need to. Chad Henne, cool. Like, and you're adding another draft class at that point, etc. The Chiefs can, and that's before, you know, totaling in the space they already have right now. The Chiefs can absolutely have a growing cap hit for Chris Jones in 2021. That's absolutely on the table. He can make 20 in 2021 after making 14 in 2020. And then in 2022, you have three big contracts on the cap right now. Hitchens is definitely gone. Frank Clark makes 26. Tyreek Hill makes about 21. Mahomes makes 31. And then you're paying Harrison Butker and a bunch of dudes. And you're probably at that point, you're hopefully extending Tyrann Mathieu. Maybe you're paying Charvarius Ward at that point. But the key there is that none of that is locked in. The Chiefs reportedly wanted to lock in Patrick Mahomes before locking in Chris Jones. And that is the right order of operations here. But if you kick the big cap hit for Chris Jones, if the first big cap hit doesn't come until 2022, then you know what you're working with. You know the space that you have available. You are far from being totally locked into a, being totally handcuffed at that point, as the tweeter put it. And then in 2023, I'll mention my favorite bit of Chiefs trivia, of cap trivia on the planet right now, for the 97th time. In 2023, your guys on the cap right now are Patrick Mahomes, Frank Clark, and Harrison Butker. You have three players on the cap in 2023, whenever Chris Jones might have a $30 million cap hit, because you're pushing stuff back. Frank Clark has a $28 million cap hit, and Patrick Mahomes has a $42 million cap hit. And yes, that is a lot of money for your top three players there. But you've got to draft well. Brett Veach has to keep finding value at other places. This is the truth of the NFL. That's already been the truth. They've had the draft well already. Brett Veach has had to find value already. Yes, things become more difficult. Things become more complicated whenever you have less money to use to cover up your weaknesses. They were able to overspend on Anthony Hitchens to cover a glaring weakness, and it worked. Like, in the metric that we all use of rings, it definitely worked. That's money they could afford then. They won't be able to afford that kind of big spend and lower return on investment in a couple of years. But unless you believe that Chris Jones is going to give you a lower return on your investment than you're paying for him, which I certainly do not believe, then you're good here. So just to be absolutely clear there, the Chiefs can pay Chris Jones, and they can pay him, I would say, comfortably in a still acknowledging that you're up against the cap kind of sense. That's all. We will take another break. Whenever we come back, we'll see if I get distracted by another tweet.
This is Sports Sunday.
I gain energy by talking.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I'm a plant in that way. My photosynthesis isn't with sunlight, it's with attention.
I am bacterial.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I don't know what it's going to take to get Mitchell Schwartz actually respected for the incredible job that he does. But, like, it feels like every time there's a offensive lineman ranking or whatever, there was Jeremy Fowler was tweeting about this. They had a set of top 10 rankings for more than 50 NFL personnel members at tackle, and Mitch Schwartz just isn't on the list. And I just don't know what we're doing. I don't know. Like, and it seems like it's more than a fluke at this point, because I just feel like we keep getting lists like this, and Mitch Schwartz just is never on them. I'm confused. I don't know. Like, it's not like he's still in Cleveland. He's now blocking for the most dynamic player in the sport, and not by a small margin. What's it going to take to get Mitchell Schwartz some respect? Also, his brother, Jeff Schwartz, called it horse bleep on Twitter. And I think, I don't know if I've ever really weaponized the word horse bleep, but I feel like it's a good evolution that you're expecting bull bleep. No, not this one. Nay, even. Horse bleep. Beards just gave me two big thumbs up for how good that joke was. Thank you, Beards, for your support. I'm glad that, it feels good to be appreciated, especially with puns of that caliber. Because sometimes I feel like I'm over here just talking by myself, just doing my best, struggling, really just hoofing it. David Leskey is next.